Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to me and through me this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I think you mostly know the story by now, but 20 years ago, Jessica and I moved, or we sold our house in Kentucky, and we moved here to South Carolina. We moved to a rental home on James Island, and when we got here, and shortly after that move, Jessica started attending church at St. James with her cousin. Now, I was not yet a Christian at that time. I had no desire to be. My philosophy in life was simply, don't bother anyone, don't get into trouble. Mind my own business, everything's going to be fine. You live your life and I'll live mine. Well, it wasn't until after attending church, after meeting the Lord in a very visceral and life-changing way, that I came to the realization that my previous assumptions about life and truth, about religion, accountability, were not at all what I thought they should be or what they actually were. I knew something was missing, I just didn't know what. I was living my own truth. And it took time. It took prayers of others. It took, quite honestly, divine intervention for me to realize that I am a sinner, that all people are sinners, that subjective truth is helpful only in a self-help kind of way. Objectively, there's a difference. Objectively, we have the unchangeable truth written for the ages in Holy Scripture, the Bible, the story that is more than a story, the poetry that is more than rhyme and meter, history that is more than written actions, the truth that is more than myself. And whether we choose to believe in the truth of Scripture or not, it is a choice that is based on an incredible amount of faith. Undeniably, though, the truth of Scripture so many times confronts us head on and brings us to a place of faith, of repentance, of change, of resignation to myself, and acceptance that there is something beyond me. Something more. There has to be. Surely, in living life, my life, the way that I see fit, there isn't any problem at all, right? Until there is. Until there is. Friends, Jesus warns about false teachers many times in Scripture, in the Gospels, and as does Paul in many parts of the New Testament, as do so many of the prophets in the Old Testament. It seems that false teaching and false proclamations are pretty pervasive in lots of different aspects of life. In Mark chapter 9, that we've been reading pretty deeply these last few weeks, Jesus and his disciples, they've been walking together on the way to Jerusalem. And ultimately, what would be the final days of Jesus' earthly life before his death, or his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. And along the way, we have read about Jesus performing miracles, healing the sick, forgiving sins, and recently, foretelling of his own death and resurrection. Also, that famous rebuking of Peter. Well, Jesus, during this time, has also had to listen to his closest friends argue with each other about which one of them is the best. It's me. No, it's me. It's me. And now there are complaints that are coming to Jesus by the disciples, John specifically in this case, about someone who's not following them, who's not with them, who is attempting to cast out demons. Well, Jesus reassures them that surely, truthfully, No one can cast out demons. No one can really do this miracle unless they're doing it in the name of Jesus. So don't worry. If this miracle is being done in my name, then it's a miracle. Then the Lord's will is being done. If not, then it's nothing. It's fleeting. It's dust. It's wind blowing by. There's no substance to it. And then Jesus goes on in this same instance to talk about temptation to sin. He gives them great lessons on truth. Some great lessons in truth. This is one of those parts of Scripture where we are confronted head on with the difficulties of Scripture. The objective truth, Jesus says, is that leading others into sin is ultimately leading them directly to hell. That leading children into sin, particularly, is a very heinous crime that is against God, against God's kingdom. And the result of doing so is the unquenchable fire of Satan's domain. Leading others into sin, leading other parts of the body into sin, reveals the horrifying reality of the danger, of the depth, and of the devastation of hell and the consequences of those little windows that Satan uses to infiltrate. Hell is real. There is no two ways about it. Hell is real, and Jesus does not want any of us to fall into that. All of this, by the way, this whole section of Scripture, this passage, is in the context of Jesus' friends arguing with one another about who's best. But who's the best one? Self-service. They think, as so many do, we're not more informed than the disciples. So many of us think on a daily basis that we can do things on our own, things that God can't do, things that God won't do. We like to know who's best, don't we? Friends, how pervasive is self-service and the history of self-service that Jesus has to objectively point out the hard truth of sin, deception, selfishness, the evil of leading others into sin. And that the consequence of that is the unquenchable fire of hell. Self-service, thinking that I can go about my life, live in my own sin without forgiveness, without repentance, and be okay with others living in their sin. It's the epitome of false belief. Which in and of itself is subjective truth. It's my own truth. I believe what I want to believe because that's what I want. Looking back at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit descends down upon him like a dove, and the Father's voice from heaven proclaims, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The visceral reality of the Trinity is birthed for the reader of Scripture immediately in the pages of Mark. The grounded truth that Jesus is who he says he is. That he has come into the world at the perfection of time in order to fulfill all the law and the prophets, the things that have been proclaimed before, to bring miraculous healing, to bring humble strength, humility, self-denial, unity of the body, forgiveness of sins, salvation, the truth of God that is indeed good news through himself. Right after his baptism, Jesus goes off into the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days of temptation by Satan. Jesus is the only one who could possibly resist all of the devil's schemes, all of those offers that were made. He's the only one. And then we see in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, in Jesus, his first words in public ministry, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to bring real righteousness, to teach warnings about who I really am, what I really need, and how I am a sinner who needs to be rescued not only from the world and the things influencing me, but from myself. For myself. And the warning that hell is real. And leading others into sin is a path directly to hell. The truth. The truth of Scripture is that even though we are made in the image and likeness of God, that image is broken because of sin. That every one of us has a deep need to repent. Not only that, but in our self-centered, sinful nature, we might lead others to sin. Friends, the body of Christ is unified by his blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross that brings us together. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we're here, for no other reason than to worship the one who came into the world to die for the world. The truth. The body of Christ is unified by his blood and is unified for the building up of his kingdom. Not to argue about which one of us is the best, but to build God's kingdom. And as true followers of Jesus, we are careful to remember that it isn't only my own sin that destroys the body, but when I lead others into sin. It is a true denial of the teaching of Jesus. It's the self-fulfilling prophecy that I can provide heavenly things for myself, and maybe I can even provide that for you. It's a disturbance of the unity of the body. It's a disturbance of that. It is a betrayal of the reality of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a gateway to the harsh reality of hell. You know, 2 weeks ago when we started this sermon series, we used the illustration of the grasses of the salt marsh, and I kind of want to close with that today. You know, each blade of the cord grass and the spartina that grows down, they're tiny, really thread-like, string-like roots that alone are very weak and fragile, but when gathered together are strong enough to buffer the strength of a hurricane. The church, the body of Christ, our church, through self-denial and repentance, the acknowledgement of the reality of hell, through forgiveness and the worship of the Holy Trinity, we are able to see the objective truth of Scripture that has been written down for the ages. It's not about me. It's not about me. But it's about what the Lord has done, is doing, and will do in, through, and for me. Friends, we haven't amazing opportunity now to see the strength of the unity of the body of Christ. As I mentioned earlier, there are friends, family, brothers and sisters in Christ in Western North Carolina, upstate South Carolina, Tennessee, so many places right now that are just absolutely suffering from this just incredibly devastating storm. Our opportunity is to be those woven roots. Coming together and helping those who desperately need help right now. The need is great and will be great for a long time to come. Many of us have very great connections, especially in Western North Carolina. So if never at any other time in your life you have come to the understanding of how the triune God works in life and in unity, let this be the time. Let this be the reality of the good news, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to strengthen and to build God's kingdom. To strengthen the body, to rebuild the body. Now is the time for truth, the truth of Scripture to be alive. Now is the time to be doers of the Word, not only hearers of the Word. So friends, may the truth of Scripture give us that great promise and hope of a present future in accordance with the great will of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, live for you, live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Build my life. put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart, and lead me in your love to those